Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're looking at verses 1 to 13. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. Alright, and it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 1. It says, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual drink and drank the same they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples, to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by the snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it." So keep your Bibles open there, which is what we're going to be looking at. Before we get into it, let's ask God for help. God, we know that by ourselves we can't understand your word. We struggle to even understand what you're saying to us. We ask now that you'll send the Holy Spirit to speak through me, and that the Holy Spirit might be dwelling in each one of us, and you might be convicting us of sins, might be encouraging us in your word. Help us to understand what your word is saying, and that through it all, we might be able to become more like Jesus. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Sally Pearson. Some of you might know who she is, some of you might not. For those who don't know who she is, well, she competes for Australia in the 100 metres hurdles. In the 2006 Commonwealth Games down in Melbourne, she was running in the final and tripped over one of the hurdles, which gave her no chance of winning one of the medals. In the 2010 Commonwealth Games at Delhi, she also decided to compete in the 100 metres sprint. The gun goes off in the final. Sally and another English lady false started. They got the opportunity to go back to the blocks and have another go. The gun goes off. Sally wins the 100 metre Commonwealth medals, gold medal. Commonwealth Games, gold medal. Sally won, only to learn later on that she was disqualified. She'd been disqualified. She was devastated. All those years of hard work, all those years of training, practicing, and she was disqualified. Well, today, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians. Going well, Martin? And as we look at 1 Corinthians, we know it's written to a people who have a lot of issues. And it's instructions on how they are to live in the light of Jesus' return. And as we look at chapter 10, verses 1 to 13, we see that Paul's burden for the Corinthians is that they don't be disqualified from the prize. Paul's burden for the Corinthians is that they don't be disqualified from the prize. You see, the Corinthians had many temptations that could cause them to drift away from Jesus, that could cause them to be disqualified from the prize. And like the Corinthians, we too have many temptations that can cause us to drift away from Jesus and be disqualified from the prize. Every day we face many, many temptations. Maybe you can be tempted by idols in your life, such as possessions. You need to work hard to save up enough money to buy that awesome house, the one you dream of. Maybe it's image. You need to be up with the latest clothing to look cool and be up with the latest trends. Or maybe it's career. You work so hard with one focus, become the top dog at work. Or maybe everywhere you look, you see sexual temptations and they never seem to leave. Everywhere you look, they're there. Or maybe you're tempted to doubt God. Is he really in control when life seems so chaotic? Will he really help you through the hard times that you're facing? Can I really trust that God will help me through these trials? Or maybe you're tempted to grumble at God. God, I'll follow you all my life, but these neighbours over here, they never follow you, and they always seem to have life so easy. What about me? Or maybe you're at work, and you have people time and time again getting raises, getting favours from the boss, and you seem to get nothing. And you say, God, what's going on with that? And you grumble to God. Or maybe you're sitting there tonight and you're thinking to yourself, hey, I'll never fall into those temptations. I'm beyond those temptations. Well, if that's you, if you're sitting there puffed up in your own pride, thinking that you're beyond temptation, this passage is for you. Paul tells the people Paul gives instructions to these people, and we're going to look at what those instructions are in a minute. Or maybe you're sitting there, you're nodding your head. When you hear about different temptations, you think, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know them temptations, and when they come along, all I seem to be able to do is to fall into them. When temptation comes along, all you seem to do is fall into it. Well, if that's you, this passage is for you. And Paul tells us what we're to do when temptation comes along. You know, one of the great things of preparing a sermon is to be able to look at the passage for yourself and to sort of think, what is God trying to say here? And struggle with what God is saying to your own life. And that's one of the awesome things about preparing any sermon. And that's one of the things I've enjoyed sort of thinking through for myself. And as we look at this passage, we see Paul is addressing two types of people. The first ones are those people who think that they will never fall into temptation. And the second one is those people who think that when temptation comes, they can never stand. At the end of chapter 9, Paul is speaking about running a race. He talks about how people go into a race, they compete in a race to win a crown that will not last. But as Christians, he says, we are running in a race to gain a crown that will last forever. He says in chapter 9, verses 24 and 27, he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. You see, Paul watches himself very, very closely. Paul's biggest critic is himself. And his burden for the Corinthians is that they do not become disqualified from the prize of heaven. So, as I've said, we're going to look at two groups of people. Those people who think they'll never fall into temptation, and those people who think when temptation comes they can never stand. So the first group, those who think they will never fall into temptation. What's Paul's advice to those people? What does he have to say to them? Well, he says in verse 12, he says, so, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. You see, what a privileged position the Corinthians are in. And us, what a privileged position we are in to be living today. We live this side of the cross. We have Paul's apostolic teaching. We have the privilege of being baptized into Christ. And we have the privilege of being able to partake in the Lord's Supper. But some of them have become puffed up by their knowledge. Their pride has puffed them up to think that they are beyond temptation. They think that they're immune to temptation. So Paul, he turns their attention and he turns our attention to our forefathers. The Israelites during the time of the Exodus. And the Israelites during the time of the Exodus, well, they had many privileges as well. They got to see God show powerful works in Egypt. They got to see God deliver them with his mighty hand. They got to see how God brought them through the Red Sea. They got to see how God provided food for them, how God provided water for them. They were in a very privileged position. They even heard God's word to them through Moses. But they weren't immune to temptation. They weren't beyond temptation. In verse 5, we're told God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Only two of them made it into Canaan, Joshua and Caleb. All the rest died outside of the promised land. See, some of the Corinthians had let their pride tell themselves, let themselves think that they were beyond temptation. But Paul points them to the Israelites who had many blessings as the Corinthians did. But the Israelites died because they fell into temptation, which gave birth to sin. And we are so privileged because we can read the Bible, which tells us about our forefathers. We can pick up the Bible, we can read it in our own tongue. We can understand what God is saying to us. Would we be so foolish to think that we are beyond temptation? Paul's burden for the Corinthians is they don't be disqualified from the prize of heaven. I'm sure all of us know people who have been disqualified from the prize of heaven. Those people who have been serving the Lord but then they walk off from the Lord. In 1945, there was a man called Charles Templeton. Now, Charles Templeton met Billy Graham in a Youth for Christ campaign. And they become great mates. They travel around Europe together. They took it in turns preaching. And Templeton went back to America and he founded his own church. And in no time at all, it had filled its capacity. It was overflowing. His church seated 1,200 people and it was overflowing. An American magazine said that he set a new standard in mass evangelism. And people even predicted that Templeton was going to surpass Billy Graham in evangelism. So many people would have looked up to this man. So many people would have went to this man for spiritual guidance. But temptation crept in and it gave birth to sin and he's walked away from the Lord. You see, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what spiritual blessings you've had. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 60 years or 6 days. Temptation can cause you to fall. It can cause you to walk away from Jesus. See, even Paul, the great apostle Paul, says that he beats his own body. He makes his body a slave so that he won't be disqualified from the prize. See, Paul's warning the Corinthians, and he's warning us that it doesn't matter what spiritual blessing you may have had, temptation is real and it can bring anyone down, so watch yourself. Peter tells us that Satan, the devil, is roaming round like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be on your guard. You're not immune to temptation. You're not beyond to a temptation. For those who are puffed up with pride and think they'll never fall into temptation, well, there it is. Your pride is most likely the temptation you've fallen into. Rather, you're depending upon yourself rather than depending upon Jesus to help you through temptation. So for those who think that they'll never fall into temptation, Paul's saying, be careful, watch yourself, guard yourself. He's warning them. But what about those people who think that they'll never stand when temptation comes? The second group of people. So what does this person have to do? What does Paul tell them? Well, he tells them two things. The first thing he tells them is that temptation is common. He tells us that temptation is common to us all. First half of verse 13 says this. It says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." The word Paul uses for temptation can also mean trial. See, Paul isn't saying here the temptations and trial are never going to come your way. He's saying they are coming your way. They do come your way. They have come your way. And he tells us that every single person on the face of this earth has faced and will face temptations. See, that means we can't play the unique card. That means we can't say, "Hey, my temptation is unique to me. I'm the only one that's experiencing this particular temptation and no one else has." Paul tells us that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. See, so often we like to think that our temptations are unique to ourselves and no one else is understand. No one else will understand if you told them about your temptations. And we think that no one will be able to help you when them temptations come along. So we walk by ourselves. We try to fight against temptation by ourselves. But Paul tells us that the unique card doesn't work because other people have faced and will face the temptations that we have faced. Older people will face the temptations that we have faced. Younger people who are younger than us will face the temptations that we face. Why do you think James tells us to confess our sins to one another? He tells us that so we have someone else to be able to help us through those temptations. Because that other person is a fair chance that they've faced exactly the same temptation that you are facing. So your temptation is not unique. It's common to man. Therefore, we can help each other fight against temptation, which gives birth to sin. And we can encourage each other to look to Jesus. You see, the church is called a family because a family cares for each other, don't they? A family looks out for other members of its family. A family is loving towards other people. And as a family, we are to help each other through temptation. We are to help each other and point each other to Jesus so we might follow Jesus and know him more. Well, the second thing Paul has to say to those people who think they'll never stand, the second thing is, God is faithful. Second half of verse 13 says, "And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Did you hear that? God is faithful. God is faithful to his promise to Abraham. He's faithful to his promise to David. And he's faithful to his promises to us. When Jesus returned to heaven, he didn't leave us here on the earth on our own. No, he said, "I am with you always to the very end of the age." He also told us he was going to send the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Jesus also tells us that he has lost none who are a part of his flock. You see, that means that when temptation comes along, we're not on our own. We're not the only person fighting an army of temptation. No, we have Jesus right here with us. And because he has experienced and suffered through temptation, he can help us when temptation comes along. See, have you ever stopped and thought to yourself when you've been tempted, "Hey, wait a minute, Jesus is here with me and he's experienced most likely what I'm experiencing. Jesus, I'm experiencing temptation, can you help me?" Have you ever thought of maybe doing that? Getting there and asking Jesus to help you through the temptation you're facing. And you know, all the time when temptation comes along, God never sends you into a burning box with no exit. Every time temptation comes along, God always provides an exit door. They're like a pair. You have temptation and you have the exit door that God provides. They're like a pair. Temptation and the exit door that God provides. You see, the reason we can escape when temptation comes is because God is faithful, because he always provides a way out from temptation. We can stand up under it because and say no to temptation. You know, it's amazing how often we walk into temptations. Maybe it's a computer. You've got a computer in a room by yourself. Maybe you're up late watching the wrong TV show. Maybe you're hanging out with the wrong people, or you join in the wrong conversations. Maybe you put others down to build yourself up. Maybe you're dishonest with your tax returns. Or maybe you doubt who you are in Christ. We walk into the devil's traps time after time after time. But what's amazing is how God always provides a way out. Most of the time he's done that by giving us a good set of legs so we can get out of that temptation. He did that for Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house. He gave him a good set of legs so he could get out from that temptation and not fall into sin. Or maybe you have to go and you have to get that computer and move it to a public area of the house. Maybe you have to turn off that TV and go to bed. Maybe you have to walk away from them conversations that are not godly, that are dishonouring to God. Or maybe you have to leave them friends who are dragging you away from the Lord. Remember that Jesus is always there with you. So every time you fill out a tax return and you're dishonest, he sees it. And for those who doubt who they are in Christ, pick up your Bible, read it, who you are in Christ. The Bible has some awesome passages of who we are in Christ. More than conquerors in Christ. We're new creations. The Bible has numerous passages of who we are in Christ. Pick up your Bibles and read it. Or perhaps for you, you need to go and find an accountability partner. Someone who you can ring up anytime and ask them to pray for you when you're facing temptation. Or if you might be that accountability partner. If you are, you've got to ask the hard questions. Do it in a loving way. Ask your friend how they are going with that particular sin, that particular temptation. You've got to be willing to ask the hard questions and spur them on to be more like Jesus. Point them towards Jesus and his grace for us. What was King David's technique for avoiding falling into sin? Well, he hid God's word on his heart. He memorized the Bible. You know, a lot of you travel to work, and I know that's a great time to memorize God's word. So think through verses of what God is saying to you. Memorize God's word. I know people do it when they're exercising. I know people do it while they're driving along. People even do it while they're working. My mum, she used to do it when she milked the cows. She used to memorize Bible verses. And you could do this and encourage the rest of your family to memorize the Bible. Challenge each other. How's your Bible memory going? Wouldn't that be good? Because it wouldn't be helping just yourself, your relationship with the Lord, but it would be helping you battle against the devil and his temptations. I love that verse in James where it gets there and says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil will be back. And time and time again, he'll come back. But you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're told in Psalm 1 that the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. Having God's word memorized, thinking about it day and night, wouldn't that help you in your battle of temptation? Not only would it be great for your own walk with the Lord, so you draw closer to the Lord, but it would help you to be more alert for when Satan's tempting you. And when he does come tempting you, you've got words, you've got the Bible in your mind, so you can meditate upon God's word, so you can resist the devil. See, in 1 Corinthians 10, 1-13, Paul's addressing two groups of people. Those people who think they will never fall into temptation. Those people who are puffed up by their own pride, and they think there's no chance of me falling into this temptation. Well, Paul says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. For those people, the other group of people, those people who think they can never stand when temptation comes, all they seem to do is fall. Well, Paul says to them, says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. You know, some of you might be really struggling with particular sins in your life. What I'll encourage you to do is go and find another Christian. If you're a male, go find another Christian male. Female, go find another female. And ask them to pray for you. Ask them to keep you accountable. Ask them to pray for you. Ask the hard questions. As Christians, we always face temptation. But it's awesome how we can say no to temptation, because it's common. Other people have faced them temptations, and God is faithful. He will help us to get through those temptations. Look to Jesus. Ask him to help you, because he's more than willing. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word does so many things for us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us in the battle against temptation. You continually remind us that you are a faithful God, and that no temptation has seized us except what's common to man. Continue to remind us that you provide a way out for us. Where sin is, you've given us the exit door. Help us to be alert so we can see them exit doors. Help us not to be looking to our own desires, but help us to be looking to what you desire. Clean our hearts, Lord, so we can become more like you. Thank you, Lord, that when we have sinned, we can still come to you, and you will forgive us our sins, and you will purify us from all unrighteousness. Help us in our battle against temptation. Help us in our battle against sin. We know we can't do it by ourselves. If we try and do it by ourselves, we'll fall. We know that we could never please you enough to make it to heaven. Jesus had to come to offer up the sacrifice so we could be right before you in heaven. And we know we can't resist temptation by ourselves. We need Jesus' help. Pray that when it does come, we will look to Jesus to help us. In his name we pray. Amen.